Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in WeTalk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: no excuse for this nightmare. Surely, black people have been overtly oppressed and continue to experience oppression in the United States. Can we excuse the disrespect, arrogance, hostility, violence, and rebellion in the black community simply because black people are oppressed? Someone dropped a white bomb and some guns and some gangster rap music in the community, and some people lost their minds, their families, their jobs, their souls, and their lives. Are we not responsible for our diminished ethics, morals? Are we not accountable for our wrongdoing simply because we had a hard life, came from a broken family? It's really the man's fault. I mean, things may be true. Some of it might be the brainchild of the so-called man. I see, but I mean, you gotta take responsibility for what you do. You know, we do. You do, we do, everyone should. So, I don't care what the situation is. You know, slavery, what type of slavery you in? Why? Oh, why? Back in the community. You know, back in the 60s, in the 50s, that whole thing about black people being disrespected in this country kind of brought them together. We had all these different organizations pop up. Black Panther Party, self-defense, Black Panther Party for self-defense, the betterment of our people. They started the first breakfast program. They had the man on them. You know, that was a result of the man. You understand what I'm saying? Martin Luther King and nonviolent protests, but that's a hard thing to do. You know, I'm going to protest the oppression of my people, the disrespect by the government, the so-called legalized oppression of my people. I'm going to protest that. You're going to kick me. You're going to spit on me. You're going to knock some of my people in the head. We're going to remain nonviolent. We're going to protest. We're going to stick together. And we're going to, you know, take this thing. We're going to march on Washington. You know, whatever. I'm not saying it went down like that, but I'm just saying, like, there was these same conditions. Like, we don't have the same conditions these guys had, you know, even with the Black Panther part. I mean, like, you know, back in the day, they were still doing what they wanted to do to Black folks. And you may think that they're doing what they want to do now, looking at some of the ways that some of the police brutality. But you need to go back about 60 years, 50 years, and you'll see, oh, it's a big difference. You know what I'm saying? I like to refer to the brothers and sisters, those vets, who were forced to come together through segregation. And, you know, Mr. Jones, some other people say segregation probably the best thing happened to Black people because it forced them to work together. And that's how he came up with Black Wall Street, one of the most successful communities, period, in the United States. I mean, you know what I'm saying? These are common folk, Black folk, working together and becoming very successful. And they hadn't come as successful as they were going to become before they were destroyed by their neighboring white community. I even heard that they used to loan money to some of the white businesses when they needed money. So, I mean, Black people working together, you know, you could actually do something. And I think anybody with an earshot of this show need to go look up Black Wall Street. All right? That's where the Gap Band come from, matter of fact. You need to look it up because these guys lived under the conditions where they were stringing up a Black person just because he's Black and killing them. They lived in them times. Not the police, just folks that was about that, white folks that was about that. I mean, look at what they did under that type of tyranny, you know. Eventually they came, they bombed the city up, killed the people in that city over an incident when they tried to, lynch a Black guy that was wrongfully accused of attempting to rape a white lady on an elevator. You know, they tried to save her and him because they was going to try and lynch him, which was common practice back then. Okay? We have so much more now than those folks had back then, but it seems to me that they had so much more than we have right now simply because they were able to work together and come up with this community with economics that basically stayed within the community, and people who were trying to actually improve their quality of life. And improving your own quality of life, you improve the quality of life of the person next to you. And, you know, if that becomes contagious, like the new sneaker or the gold chains or the gazelles or what's that kind of coat that he's wearing? I mean, one time he was killing people for a coat. Forget what it's called. Like, it looks like a lambskin kind of thing. That coat, I mean, if it becomes as popular as those things have, as popular, we'd be on our way. See, because in Tulsa, which is where Black Wall Street was, it wasn't killing each other. They wasn't busting each other in the head. They were helping each other. You know, I don't get it, you know. So, you know, I don't know. Are we not responsible for our diminished ethics? Are we not partially responsible for some of the diminished ethics and morals that we have in the community that we exhibit, that we, some of us, exhibit, some of us have to suffer under in the community? You know what I'm saying? Because they had a hard life, came from a broken family, it's really the man's fault. You know, is that what we're doing? Is the man that powerful that he could drop some snow in your community and you automatically lose your mind? You automatically say, F the community, F my family, F myself, F my neighbor. I mean, is that where we're coming from? You know, it just seems to be a spirit of rebellion. Anything that's good is people seem to be rebelling against. It takes me to something as simple as extremely loud music. You can hardly hear what's in front of you sometimes. People just banging this music. You can't. I'm on top of driving my car. I turn my radio off because the guy next to me, music was so loud, I couldn't hear the music in my car. Turn it off. And his, whatever it was vibrating in my car. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, even the community, you're playing loud music, you have people on the block. You know, then you have a problem when they actually turn the music down. And you gotta understand, like, you know, community was a certain way before you moved in there. Then you get in there, you come in there with this loud music, it's disrupted. You gotta understand that. Oh, you can do what you want to do. It's a free world. Do what you want to do. It's my music. I can turn it up loud as I want. Really, you know, if you grew up, if you took the time to grow up, you learn that you can't do what you want to do. There's no such thing as I can do anything that I want to do. That is a misnomer. And only a child would believe that. A two-year-old, because I never believed I could do what I want to do. As I grew, I learned there's things that I can't do, there's things that I shouldn't do, there's things that's not a good thing to do. Understand? So, it's just one thing. You know, because you get arguments over somebody playing music too loud, like, give people a break. Turn it down. Go in your house, listen to your music. Why does the whole neighborhood have to hear what you're listening to? Anyway, total disregard for life. We know what's going on in our community. We got a pandemic now, and look, homicide is continuing as if there was no pandemic. Still killing brothers, women. And that's a lot of women getting killed now. It's like a man and woman in a car, they both getting shot. Man, woman, and child in the car, they're giving it to everybody in the car going to get some of that. And I don't understand that, the total disregard for life. And that's a total disregard for life. Why would you shoot in a car? It's one person that you want in a car. Bad enough you doing that. Why are you shooting in there with a baby in the car and a female in the car? Why? Are you saving a life by doing that? Are you saving a world by doing that? Do they have to die for your cause? Or just because? You know, we have this, I don't know, it's, I'm not a, you know, I'm really not. And I'm not excusing it. I can't excuse the behavior. I can't say, oh, yeah, you know, we came from slavery. They broke us off from our ancestors. And we don't know where we came from. We're going to go back so far in our generation before we start getting mixed up. And, you know, we don't know exactly who's who in our family line, you know. So I'm like, so you lose your mind? So now you don't give up? You're about nothing? Something's wrong with this picture. And, you know, no respect for elders. None. And I'm like, come on now. We respected the elderly. We respected people older than us. You didn't have to be elderly. You were just somebody's person. And respect for people's property. You know, I told a story one time. We, you know, sit on ladies' steps. We know we shouldn't sit on our steps. She came. Open the door, she threw some hot water out there. She don't give you no warning. Just best bet just to know get up off her step when she, when that doorknob turned. Old lady. You know, we sit on the steps. Sometimes we made mistakes, sit on there. We weren't thinking, sit down. You know, we ain't got no business sitting on her steps. And nobody break her windows out. Nobody cuss her out. Nothing like that. Just got up. Watch that hot water drop on the step. Nobody try to hurt her. Then we got, now we got this thing where I noticed where, you know, these young adults again. Now, I think we're talking about what age group that is, and then we come to the conclusion that is up, there's up to maybe age 40, these group of people that, that kind of got this kind of idea that they don't have to respect nothing. It's a lot. I guess it's more in those age groups. I'm not saying that that's the age group that's, that they're the only ones doing it, but I think somebody was saying that they, you know, this is just a conversation we had, how we thought about how old these people were that were doing these things. And, you know, like smoking marijuana, when you smoke, this is my house, my porch, I'm smoking weed on my porch. But everybody know if you smoke weed on your porch, it's going 2, 3, 4 doors down. Everybody don't smoke weed. It, last time I looked, it's illegal in Pennsylvania, unless it's medicinal. And I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to be smoking it where other people can get in contact. That doesn't make sense. That's the equivalent of you drinking and putting alcohol in somebody else's cup because you drinking. You know, they don't want to get high off of weed. Why should they be subjected to that? Why should they come home and inside their house smells like weed because you chose to smoke some weed? Come on. You know, where's the respect? If you're not going to respect yourself like that, where's the respect for the community, for the people in the community? You know, something's not right with that, you know. People spark up a joint walking down the street now like they're smoking a cigarette. I don't get it. It's total disregard for rules, boundaries, laws, safety, and health of others. And if we're going to blame all that on slavery, Jim Crow, you know what I mean? That's what we're going to do. The man, we're going to blame all that, all this bad behavior, poor behavior, lethal behavior, blaming all that on the man. We that weak? We that weak? What's going on? All the killing, people on repel instruction, you can't say nothing to nobody, excuse me, you know, you want to double park, F you on that tip too, you know, you there, you double park, go around me, you know, I've seen people park in front of a empty parking space, like, come on, are you serious? You double park, there's a parking space right next to you. See people in the street talking, just in the street, middle of the street, stop the car, get out the car, and they talking. So not only is the car block in the street, the people are in the street. When you try to go around them, they right there. You know, now I know they don't have an S on their chest, so what makes them think that they can't get ran over? I didn't know if I'm not drunk or one of those road rage people. I'm gonna knock this guy to the other side of the street. He gonna learn not to come up on the block street with his car. Then he gonna stand outside the car like he in his garage or something. Hold a conversation. I'm not supposed to. I got to go around him poking his ass out or her ass out while I'm trying to get down the street. You know, how do you know if you ain't running into that person? Can't redirect nobody, you know, say, hey, son, don't do that. Hey, you know, you can't give no redirection because your life might be in danger or your freedom because everybody ain't going to let nobody kill them. You know, so, I mean, like, you end up the same place they end up at, jail or dead or the hospital. You know what I mean? Trying to redirect somebody. Trash. This is when my mom's talking about the trash. And you can see it like the store. Store in the corner of the house has a trash can right, I think on both corners. They got two trash cans. You put, see, like people come from the store, whatever they got, unwrap it, bam, drop it on the ground. Right? Another friend of mine talks about how people drop trash like it's a dump site right across the street from a house. They just drop their trash off there. Come on. Is that work? Somebody talked about somebody threw something out of the car window. Blah. It's finished with it, threw it out the window. Because of slavery? That's because you ain't got no mama? You ain't had no papa? Is that because your mama's on drugs? Is that that? Or your dad was on drugs? Dad was in jail? Your mama's in jail? You sold drugs? Really? Are we really going to excuse that on that kind of stuff? You know? And another thing I'm noticing is I see this like on the internet, on YouTube. What's with the whole thing about certain people want to be known as killers? I don't understand that. You want to be known as a guy who kills people. You know, that's really beyond me, because, I mean, so let me get this. Are they that afraid that they letting people know that I'll kill you? Stay away from me, because I seen a video with like eight dudes. I think maybe two of them had pistols. One had like a 30-shot clip in one pistol. And the other one just out. I don't know what he had. He had a, you know, semi-automatic pistol. But it's broad daylight, standing around with AKs, talking about how they attacked somebody out. I'm just trying to make heads and tails out of this here thing. And I know they, you know, I keep saying to myself, like, I try to relate to the scenario, well, you know, black people, they've been suffering in this country. Well, if you've been suffering, why would you add to the suffering? Or these guys have no connection to the suffering of black people in this country, that they would contribute to it like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, are they not aware of how blacks were murdered from Africa to here? All the death and slavery, all the rape and slavery, you know what I'm saying? You know, the rape of young males and slavery, which is very, I don't hear nobody talking about that, you know, and I bring that up because of the jail situation. Like, yo, do you know what you're doing? Is it excusable because you incarcerated and you don't have a woman, so you're going to take this man and rape him, or you're going to rape him to punish him? Same thing they did with black slaves. Break is called butt breaking. Beat him up, beat him, rape him in front of everybody, the whole slave population. So how we turn around, how we turn around and become the thing, the monster, the thing that goes bump in the night to ourselves. How the hell? How did we get this far? I mean, because it's like, you know, I can understand why people move out of the neighborhood. I can understand why some people don't move into the neighborhood. I can understand why some black people, once they get the money to move out, they're gone. Because they want to live. They want to be able to speak to their neighbors. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Malik, you all right? Say, yeah, you need something? He said, I'll come help you with that. You know, they probably want to live like, everybody would love to live like that. They ain't a sucker. Because if that's being a sucker, then you're saying that the people, the very successful people in Black Wall Street are suckers. And if that's being a sucker, I'm going to be that kind of sucker myself. You know, I want to help somebody. Somebody help me, and we're going to grow. We're going to improve our quality of life. We're going to practice collective economics. We're going to help each other because that's what it did. We just keep cutting each other down mentally, physically, spiritually. Why? Is it, you know, is it the man? Really? The man that powerful? Because that's giving a lot of power to the man. That's giving a lot of power. You got a bag of chips in your hand. Right? Or you got a popsicle. Take the paper off, throw it right on the ground. That's the man making you do that? Or that's because you ain't had no daddy? Did you throw the trash on the ground? You know, I don't know. I'm getting on soapbox a little bit, but I think this needs to be talked about because, you know, what made me want to talk about this today was that it was the incident. And I'm going to get to it in a few minutes. You know, but why the need to be known as a murderer? I kid you. You know, it sounds like more like somebody who's fearful. You know, to me, you need a gun because you're afraid of something. Because if you weren't fearful or didn't have anything to be fearful of, you wouldn't need a gun. And I'm not saying is you shouldn't have a gun either, because we have things out here, monsters, that have guns. And if you don't have a gun, in some situations, these people will overtake you. You know what I'm saying? I have a friend, had a situation. He licensed to carry out late in the night, coming home late, early morning, or early late night, early morning, you know, when those hours where most people sleep. Notice these guys in the car. They drove by him, back, came down the street. So he already knew what the game was. Guys out late at night, getting stragglers, robbing them. And, you know, sometimes they shoot people and they rob them, which is I don't know what that is. Robbery, homicide. Which would you rather be, have people looking for you for? A homicide or robbery? Doesn't make sense. Anyway, back to the story. So he said he, you know, I think he grabbed his pistol, right? Held it in a bag. He had a bag or something. So he held the pistol in the bag. The guys slowed down where he was. He stood by his car, looked at them. They looked at him, and they kept on moving because they could see he had something. You know, we should never have to go through that kind of thing in our neighborhood. But if he didn't have a gun, he might be dead. Little to no boundaries, you know. And the list goes on. And the boundary thing is very, very important, you know, because what I noticed that these people, one of their major themes is respect me. It feels more like bow down to me, lawless. It tells somebody to respect your lawlessness. That's not the thing to do. That's not even logical. So, I heard someone say the level of disrespect in the black community is a result of a crack epidemic, right? So, this facilitated the intergenerational mass addiction, leaving offspring unsupervised, misinformed, uneducated, emotionally immature, self-reared, street-reared, angry, and rebellious. Even with all of that, these people don't know any better than it being wrong to take a life. Am I supposed to get that from that? Somebody help me with that. Because I'm not getting that from that. And if you thought it was so right to take a life, why do you run? Why do you hide? The other day I witnessed two young men ride dirt bikes down the curb with pedestrians on it. They were on the other corner of the block. It was a guy talking to me, standing on the curb beneath my mom's porch. And I seen one guy drive up. And I was like, whoa, trying to see you on the curb? Like, oh, you know, I don't know if they was trying to send a message out. I'm tough. Get out my way. I'll do what I want to do. F you. Because that S didn't be the real message to me. F you. Me. So all this counting is me. F you. Me. F you. Me. That's the only message I'm getting from a lot of these guys. So they went from, they had left one corner where they could have just took the bikes. Three steps that would have been in the street because the curb ain't, it's not wider than about three or four steps. That had been in the street on their way. They came down the curb, past the guy on the curb, and to the street from there, then went back to where they, in the direction of which they came. And these guys look about mid-20s. You know. So, the guy was talking to, he attributed their ignorance, which is why I came to today's show. They attributed their ignorance to their perceived lack of parenting and instruction as a result of the drug epidemic that continues to plague the black community. And I said, I don't think so. I said, well, the police don't care about their deprivation of parenting. The courts don't care about their deprivation of parenting. I think they know better, but choose not to do better. Come on, because it doesn't take, it's not rocket science. People on the block, you on a dirt bike. Number one, it's illegal to ride your dirt bike in the first place. Second, you riding your dirt bike, if it was licensed, on the curb, putting people at risk. I think they made a choice to do that. And I don't know what was their choice. I don't know if they made a conscious choice to do that. They were trying to send some kind of message out in particular, or it's their normal message, F you, me. Like, for instance, if there was a police officer standing on the curb, they would not have rolled their bikes down that block towards him. That wouldn't have happened. If the neighborhood drug lord was standing on the block, I don't think they would have rolled their bikes towards him. If the neighborhood killer was standing on the block, I don't think they would have rolled their bikes toward him. They wouldn't endanger him. They wouldn't put him at risk like that. If a group of men from the neighborhood was standing on the block, I don't think they would have rolled their bikes toward them. Point is, guys like them need a deterrent until they are raised from the dead, because their mind is dead. You have to have a dead mind to make a move like that. You know, that's how you gain or get attention, gain respect by disrespecting, placing people at risk. That means that you are a risk to the community, even to yourself. The question is, why? Some people disrespect the lives of others and others don't. Both coming from the similar environments, family or community. And I've seen that. I've seen guys come from the same family. One guy hit the street, the brother, he don't do that. Sometimes they have two parent households and that's going on. So what my friend said just made me think, like, really? Is that their problem? Our oppressed state, that somebody drop a white mom in the community, and, you know, with their crack babies or something, they can't focus or nothing like that. They don't know no better. I think that's BS. I think that's a misnomer. Because they know better. Even if they're, you know, in the habit of doing the wrong thing, they know better. I'm certain these guys know better than to ride their bikes down the curb. A white man didn't tell them to do that. Did he? Did a white man make that happen? They chose to do it. That's not a result of the white man. You gotta take, you have to take some responsibility for the things you do. Some things you have control over. Okay? You don't have a job. You're impoverished. You might be in target. Might be being targeted by law enforcement, individuals in law enforcement. But you don't have to ride an illegal bike down the curb. And then they passed a law in Philadelphia. The police officers don't generally chase those guys because of the risk that comes with that. Those guys run, try to outrun the police. And people get hurt, right? So, you know, it's a choice. You know, they're all wrong. You're riding an illegal motor vehicle. Then you're riding it in an illegal manner. Then you're riding it in a way at which someone could be injured from the speed that you're riding a bike on the curb. Come on. What kind of example are these guys setting? So, you know, for you listeners, callers, and I'm not trying to talk all night about this. I need other people's input because I hope we can have a conversation about this. It kind of pissed me off to see that these guys riding the bike down the street on the curb. And I'm not excusing nothing about what happens in our community on any slavery or COINTELPRO, nothing. We don't have to eat each other's back out. We don't have to stick knives in each other's back, tap each other out, nothing like that. These are the same guys who want you to respect them on the street. They want their rights respected when arrested or confronted by law enforcement. Same guys. They want due process. They want no police brutality. And they certainly wouldn't want anyone riding their bikes down the curb towards them or one of their family members. Yeah, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello. Hey. Cute.
Cute.
Yeah, they. I think a lot of them think it's a cool thing, you know, riding a bike up on the curb. After they see somebody do something like that, they don't give them a high five. Oh, that was cool, you know. You ain't obeying the rules and everything. You know, that kind of thing. Get that attention, like you were saying.
Like they 2 years old, 6 years old, give them six.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because, you know, these guys was like, they look like 25 to 30. Any something like that. Not no kids.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I'm excusing it.
I was going to say, we definitely have like a maturity issue in a lot of people in our neighborhood, I think. They trying to act like they're 13 or something. You know, like they need supervision. They want to say they don't need supervision, but all their actions, it's like they need supervision. Somebody needs to tell them how to act.
That's a good point right there. Because that's what, you know what? That's what it looks like. That's exactly
Right.
what it looks like. It looks like some people need supervision, which is not a good thing, because more supervision means more laws that require you to be supervised, more Big Brother stuff going on. You understand what I'm saying? And
Right.
we don't really need that. We don't need that. If you
Right.
can't control you, right, then
Right.
somebody will come to control you. Something's going to happen
Right.
to address, you know, you're out of control. You know, that,
Right.
and, you know, that I think my friends just say, you don't make changes, changes will be made for you.
Right.
You know. And it seems like these guys are big on some form of respect to me. But it's not respect in terms of trying to have a more ethical quality of life. It's not that respect. Like you said, it's cool that you broke that rule, that you rebelled, and you did what
Right.
you want to do, regardless of what whoever in the vicinity may have thought. So that's cool. Like, oh, how is that cool? You know, like, you know, and I'm like, are they that, do you think these guys don't know their history in this country? You know, that's, you know, I'm trying to figure out. You know, you know, do they just don't know? Or they believe that they can't do anything, so they just do these things. They make these things that they do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like I can do anything. I don't feel like I can get my education. I don't feel like I could, you know, go to school and learn some trade or something. I don't feel like I could do that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make doing this risky thing, I'm going to make that the something that I do and the something that I aspire to do and achieve. Which is sad.
Right.
You know, and, you know, somebody may say, yeah, that's all because, you know, theoretically, you know, the oppression and the poverty and the drugs in the community, you know. Okay. So because you got drugs in your community, you've been oppressed, you ride a bike down a curb. You throw trash on the street. You don't care. You don't care about other people. You block the street. Hold your little conversation.
I was thinking about what you were saying about regulations, being, you know, having more regulations or something like that. Like, for a long time, people waited for a particular law to drive a particular way. That was the right on red.
Right.
You know, because before it was just like red light, everybody got to stop at the intersection, right? And then they came out with it, okay, you can make a right-hand turn on a red light. And then, all of a sudden, after they came up with that, it was just like all these signs saying, coming up saying, no turn on the red light. Well, why would they have these signs up? But when you look at the traffic at some of those places where they said you can turn right on red, you notice that while these people are making these right-hand turns on red when they shouldn't be making it.
Right.
Like these cars, you know what I mean?
Right.
They said, okay, well, we gotta put some more rules in effect here because, you know, and yeah, that's what some people need. They need more rules or something. They need somebody to, you know, to get on them.
So they are childlike.
I believe they are. I notice the older I get, it's harder for me to make friends because most of the people I come across, they act like kids. They're childish in that way. I don't see a lot of people who, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I mean, not that there aren't, but, you know, I don't hang out anymore, so, you know, I don't really come into contact with a lot of people. But when I go to certain places, supermarkets and things like that, BJ's, I see people acting childlike, just like you were just saying. They almost made it into the trash can, but the trash didn't go in the trash can, but that's good enough. They almost made the cart go into the cart part, you know what I mean? But it didn't
mm-hmm.
really make it in there. So now it's rolling down the parking lot, running into cars and stuff like that. You know, and I was at BJ's the other day. This kid, they had their gloves on because, you know, it's COVID and everything like that, right? They get in the car, open the car back up, and throw the gloves down in the parking lot there. But it was just like they were on time like everybody else because it was a whole bunch of people that did that because a whole bunch of gloves sitting out in the parking lot at BJ's. Like, man. Can't do right.
Choose not to do right.
Right.
And I'm saying it's a choice because there's certain conditions where they're not going to do some of the stuff that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Certain conditions, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
So they know better.
Definitely.
Yeah. And all the slavery, Jim Crow, lynching, they probably even know about some of that stuff. But I'm saying all of that can't excuse the behavior. Yes, that have an impact on the lives of black people in this country. I'm not even doubting that or debating that. But I'm saying that it shouldn't have control over whether you choose to be a decent person.
Right.
Or have some air of decency about you, some boundaries.
Right.
I don't know. You know, it just seems like, just seems like, you know, the neighborhood is out of control, and being out of control is in.
Mm-hmm.
Being mean and nasty, that's in. I know, and it's consistent with wearing your pants, wearing your behind out. You know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
that's like saying,
mm-hmm.
kiss my ass.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just a whole lot of folks, and it's bad when you have a so-called adult acting like a child. That's a very dangerous mix. That's like what's that? Bleach and ammonia. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's very explosive. Cause you know, cause now when this guy gets angry, somebody's gonna die. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't like a
mm-hmm.
2-year throwing a tantrum. This guy get angry, he'll come back. And he's going to tap somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, enough of this stuff. I mean, you know, we need to have somewhere where we can be safe. Where people can walk
yeah.
down the street without worrying about people having a shootout. You know? Got to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe people need to start looking at building, when you build a community, make sure you build that community around those concepts. If everybody come into the community, let them know, you know, you have to show discipline. You know, the loud music, the gyrating loud music. That right there, it's like, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff, come on now.
But you know what happens,
you know,
though?
Like,
you know what? When it seems like when black people do that, when they move to these safer places and out of the way places, nicer places and stuff like that, they always bring people with them, you know, and they family members and all that kind of stuff like that. But they boneheads, you know, they're gonna play their music that loud. They're gonna be out there smoking whatever they want, you know, doing all those type things that you don't want people to do. And then if someone say something to them, then it's like, you know, hey, you profiling me or something.
Right. F you, you know? Me. F you, yeah. Me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yo, that's an attitude, man. F you, me. You know, and, you know, it's sad that you know, it's hard to just do a verbal intervention. You can't turn your music down without getting in arguments, possible.
Mm-hmm.
Arguments lead to people fights. People want to get their peoples and all that kind of stuff. And nowadays, people just getting people, that's people with guns. That ain't people
yeah.
coming to squash nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's people
right.
coming
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to make this thing, to throw some fire on his oil. One, you know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know that? Are you not coming to help? You coming to hurt.
Right.
And why are they so eager to hurt themselves? Blaming on slavery? Blaming on that? That's what we're getting? Oh, yeah, he come to send the slaves. They went to Jim Crow, all the segregation, and, you know, they still getting targeted by police. White folks still don't like, and really accept all of them, you know, they don't really like them. That's why they act that way? They still being oppressed? Really? They don't know no better? You take that same guy, put him in a different environment, he don't know no better? Or put somebody
mm-hmm.
else in the environment? You know what I'm saying? He don't know no better than guys riding the bikes down the curb. They don't know no better. Think they would have tried that with a cop on the curb?
No. They didn't think it was. They don't think it's gonna be any repercussions of being on the curb. If they knew it was gonna be some repercussions, they wouldn't have done that.
Exactly. So they didn't. They didn't. So they had the mentality of a wild of a. Of a dog, a pet dog that's out of control. Oh, he gonna you gotta get that newspaper and smack him in the nose now because he took a crap in the house. You
mm-hmm.
know he's supposed to do that. Why? You got that? You know what I'm saying? That contributes to the cycle of violence. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So now you got a person trying to discipline a young man. You know what I'm saying? But he realized
mm-hmm.
he's a young man. He got that part down. Oh, I'm a man. Can't tell me what to do. I'm a man. Who the hell
mm-hmm.
is you? I kill you. You don't know who I am. You don't know me. You know, all that kind of nonsense. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know. I was talking to somebody else. They were saying how, they express how the negative behavior has been molded and nurtured and encouraged by the hip-hop gangster rap culture that perpetuates a seemingly out-of-control culture, a totally rebellious culture that's void of boundaries. These behaviors are reinforced by peers and the music industry. It's art imitating life and life imitating art. That's a vicious circle right there. You're learning your,
yep.
you're getting your inspiration from a guy that's talking about, you know, F you, me. I got that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm making that money. And he ain't talking about I went to school or I trained myself to do this. And he ain't talking about nothing like that. He's talking about I'm making money killing my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making money like that, it makes it okay, and I kill you. Come try to take it from me. Come try to stop me. I will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
they so bold with that. Like I was saying earlier, that's on YouTube, man. It's like, yo, it's a lot of people on there toting guns.
Mm.
It's in broad daylight. I think those guys was in, I don't know where it was at. I don't know if it was Texas or well, it's one of them southern states.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so, okay, if your sense of power is having an AK-7, then you say you have power because you have the power to take a life. You don't have power over life. You have power to take a life.
Wait, were they rapping on the video?
Hell
the
no.
And stuff like that? Oh, they just
seen
a
rap
yeah.
video?
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. They ain't even acting. This real. It's like, yo, this is not no guys fronting like they thugs. These guys saying, hey, we will tap you out. And you know, the question is, who are they referencing this whole, you know, violence toward? Or it can't be the police, because I know they ain't talking about the police. They ain't going to tap the cops out.
Right.
So, you know, it's a lot of that, man. You know, AK-7s, man. It's like, yo. I'm like, What in the world is going on here? So, to me, that represents fear. You know what I'm saying? You need a gun. You need that many guns. It's 80, 90, I don't know how many dudes. It was a bunch of dudes with guns. If there's that many people out there with guns, then you're afraid of something. So, that means that we've We're taking this whole thing from slavery to now, and now we're scared of ourselves. From slavery to now, we're scared of ourselves, and we're not addressing nothing. You know, we're throwing as much fuel on a flame of our deterioration, throwing as much fuel on that as we can. So success appears to be measured by an individual's ability to succeed at failing by breaking rules, challenging authority, taking unnecessary risks, exhibiting overt displays of arrogance, social political impudence, spiritual wickedness, ignorance, self-hatred, selfishness, uncleanliness, and violating the rights of the community. Giving life to the saying, a nigga ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? They, you know, I mean, it's like, damn. You know, just think. Suppose those are the images that's being projected of black people, the people from the community. That's a problem.
Right.
That's a serious problem. Because unfortunately, it's too much of that in the community. You know what I'm saying? You know, we really shouldn't have any time or space or room for that type of behavior, because we don't. We can never do anything close to what they did on Wall Street, Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We can never do anything close to that with these type of attitudes of, you know, F you me. You can't do nothing with that attitude. And you can't blame the white man, because you can be somebody if you treat yourself like somebody and if you treat other people like somebody. That's the first step toward being somebody. Has nothing to do with you being a millionaire, right? Has nothing to do with you driving a fancy car. That doesn't make you somebody because you got trash bags full of ones, tens, fives, and twenties. That don't make you nobody. That don't make you respect anybody. That don't make you being respecting yourself. What makes you somebody is your ethics. You know what I'm saying? How you don't mean people harm. How you respect people's space, their property, and you're aware of how you impact on the life of other people. Come on. I mean, drug dealing is nothing new. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just don't see, you just never saw these same type of characters talking about, I sell drugs and I kill people, basically. You know what I'm saying? I tap you out. You just never seen guys just talking like that, you know. And they would tap people out and they were selling drugs. But it seemed to me like the old drug dealer didn't want you to know, I sell drugs. Now we got a whole community of people. They want people to know, I sell drugs and I tap people out.
Right.
Like, whoa. Really? You all right with that? You okay with people knowing that you do that?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was people who wasn't okay with people even knowing they did that. If they did it. Now it's like, you know, that's like an achievement. Like, you know, you got the Academy Awards. You know what I'm saying? You got a Purple Heart, Academy Awards, what up? The Nobel Peace Prize, and that shit. To them, that's their highest honor. Oh, yeah, he tap you out. Oh, yeah, he making money. Really? Because if any of them even attribute their condition to the man, then they got to know. If they have enough sense to know that, there's something out there that's systemically against them, then they have to know that they're contributing to that. They're as much of a contributor as the people who are systemically against them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, like, you know, how you can't be a part of the problem and then you can complain about the problem. Oh, the problem is, ain't me, it's the man. Really? That's the man got you smoking that weed and around your kids, around somebody else's kids, around somebody else's mom, around somebody, you know what I'm saying? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. It's not making any sense to me. You know, so, I mean, if you look at it, if it is, just blame it all on the man. Slavery, Jim Crow, the Ku Klux Klan, the politicians, you know, the U.S. government, all of the Contra Pro and Tel Pro. Just blame it all on them. You part of the problem. You right there with them. Okay,
yeah.
After you name all of them, then comes you. If there was no demand for drugs in the community, there would be no sale of drugs in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we weren't born junkies, right? We weren't born users. If there was no desire, it was me. If you stuck to your upbringing, if you were trained a certain way to preserve your body, there would be. They couldn't sell drugs in your community. They could drop a truck, a 16-wheeler full of cocaine in your community, and guess what? It wouldn't move.
Right.
Because nobody uses that shit. We don't use drugs. If there was no desire to get high or self-intoxicate, there would be no use of drugs in the community. Same thing. You a desire. We live in a culture that encourages people to get high. I don't care what it is. Alcohol, cigarettes, you know what I'm saying? Weed. We about to blow up. That's going to be a hell of an investment for people. Because I think 80% of the marijuana being sold now is street marijuana. When they legalize that, that's a big market right there for you young beginner investors. I'm not talking to the other guys because they probably know better than me. But that's going to be a big market, and I'm not even encouraging you to invest in it because it's like investing in alcohol. You know, that's I think alcohol is the number two preventable death in America. Preventable death. There's a difference between preventable death and I think it's a lot of it's preventable, even cancer. But if you don't get the cancer out of the environment, not to go off topic, if you don't get the cancer out of the environment, then you're not preventing it from happening. But, you know, back to what we're saying, you know, we live in a society that encourages people to get high. Then when they start to get high, they start to, you know, you got all these consequences. But you're encouraging it at the same time. Smith's Malt Liquor, Billy D, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who else. Was it Colt 45? No, Colt 45, that's Billy D. You got Smith's. Yeah. I don't know who else, man. They got some stuff out now. They say they'll make you crazy. So it's our mindset. You know what I'm saying? And that's our responsibility to raise our children and to stand as examples in the community of how you should be, how to defend yourself against what's against you. But we're not doing that. You can't do nothing if you're high. Your immune system is compromised if you're high, right? If you're getting high, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a strong desire to protect the dignity of the lives of the people of the community, there would be no proliferation of lethal substances in the community if we was all saying no to drugs. That wouldn't happen. We wouldn't have that drug situation. You know, what I'm saying that to say because it's something about us that's inviting the torture that we're going through, the madness that we're going through. You know what I'm saying? We have to take responsibility for what we do just because somebody dropped, you know, a white bomb in your community don't mean you have to use it. You know what I'm saying? Right now, somebody dropped some a busload of horse shit. What are they going to do with that? That's funny. See? You know why? Because we don't live in a society where we're encouraged to use horse shit, to do anything with horse shit, except one thing, fertilizer. That's my point. So, you know, I don't know, you know, based on that, what if they drop that in a community and somebody say you can get high off of that? I guess that's going to start a new trend. Smoking horse shit. Is it that easy? I guess that's my point. Is it that easy that the man, right? Ali Noor or whoever, Noriega, whoever can drop something in your community, label it, you can get high off of this. Are you going to run to it? You going to try it? You going to try that whole, I'm going to smoke this horse shit, see what. Oh man, this shit is good. You know what I'm saying? Is it that easy? Are we that simple minded? Are we that weak? And the answer seems to be for some of us, yes. You know, for some of us, the answer is yes. We think it's cool to be high. Well, if you believe in this whole concept of the man, and he's putting these things in your community to subdue you, why would you sell it or use it? You've just been attacked. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's the equivalent of taking the first wave coming at you on a battlefield, telling them, come on, right down this way. Right down this way. Come on. We're going to take you right to headquarters. You can let your bombs off. You know, you can, you know, blow up headquarters. Go back into town, kill a couple people back there too. It's all right. That's the equivalent of doing that. That's the first wave, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drop a bomb in your community. You know, but you didn't been. I mean, actually, that's the second wave because the first wave is that you've been indoctrinated to get high. Second wave is I give you something to get high off of. Here you go. Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I seen mice go around mice traps with cheese on them or peanut butter. You seen that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, because they realize, once they realize, hey, that's something they put down to hurt me. Yeah, I love peanut butter, and it's on that trap. But it's a trap. I seen them go around and not mess with it. I seen them get caught. The same stuff, then after a while, they don't get caught on that. You put down all you want, they ain't on it. Well, no, they ain't messing with it. I don't know about the cheese. I'm not sure if they like cheese as much as they say they do anyway. But I know they like peanut butter. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm like, you can't have both ways. You can't have it. You can't say the man this and the man that, and you doing all this nasty stuff in the neighborhood. That's not the man. That's you. You know, there's no strong desire to protect the dignity and the lives of the people of the community. There ain't.
Mm.
I heard a story about, was it Bumpy Johnson? And he's a guy, he's a gangster. But he don't carry himself. He carries himself like a businessman. He ain't trying to make nobody afraid of him or nothing like that. Except for people that need to be afraid of. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, he does his thing. He does his thing in a way that you don't see what he's doing. You can see it, but you can't see it. But now, I'm just giving that as an example. Like, even the mafia, their whole thing was, we don't really exist for a minute. You know what I'm saying? The who? Mafia. I don't know what you're talking about. So it seems like these guys wanted 15 minutes of fame, and they're willing to die for it. Kill you for it.
Mm-hmm.
See, these guys want to have come to the conclusion that if you do something to them, you're going to die for it. So we're not protecting it. Dignity of the lives of the people in the community, because there wouldn't be no riding dirt bikes on the sidewalk. That wouldn't happen. Even if he had a dirt bike illegally, he wouldn't ride it down the sidewalk out of respect for the community and himself, because you can't be that disrespectful without disrespecting yourself, because you're setting a poor example for your of the kind of person you are. So people are looking at you like, I'm an employer. I'm looking at that person. Oh, that person don't respect boundaries. You know what I'm saying? That's not good. He wouldn't make a good employee, because I can tell he's out here doing what he wanted to do. He didn't respect nobody and almost ran that man over right there. And he wasn't smart enough to take his bike off the curb where he was standing. Take two steps, he would have been in the street. He chose to ride it up. Both of them chose to ride it up the curb. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
Another thing to go on, I see running the stop signs. My joke is, somebody tell me somebody ran a stop sign. I said, he don't have to stop for the stop sign. He got a different, license than you do. That was my joke with that. And, got his license, he got his license off the curb. They don't stop for the stop signs. Oh, they're in a hurry. You driving too slow, Problem, go around you. It's just there's no kind of respect, no kind of patience. And, it's a lot of it. And this whole thing about running a stop sign, I'm not delegating that to the under 40 group, because I see all ages doing that. Running those stop signs. Speeding up on the yellow light instead of being caught, taking caution. The yellow light means speed up. I don't get that. The guys on the bikes, they ride right through the intersections. It's like, ooh, you know, it seems like I got more concern for their life than they do. Talented brothers on them bikes. I'm going to say that about them, too. I seen them do some very talented stuff on those bikes and four-wheelers. But they should do something with that. Make that work for them. You understand what I'm saying? Don't just let it be you being a rebel. I mean, you got all those skills. Do something with that. Create a race or some kind of sport that you do with the bikes. You know what I mean? Do something. Do something positive with it. You grown men, you can do something. You don't have to be outlaws. You feel me? Anyway, there would be no shooting. Got a lot of, I'm hearing more and more incidents, lots of women getting shot with guys. I don't know if these women are they queens or queen pins and king pins or whatever. I don't know. They in the hood, so they, I don't know what kind of pin they could be anyway. They sitting around here. But, I mean, are they, is that the girlfriend just happening to be with a boyfriend and you just shoot them up? Or is she a part of the whole thing? You know, I was wondering about those scenarios when I hear about this, the women getting shot in the car with the guy. Bad enough guy getting gunned down. You tap the female out, too. So, I don't know. Anyway, if we, you know, we're trying to protect the dignity of lives, of the lives of the people in the community, there would be no shootouts while children, men and women, are trying to get home safe or while they're sitting in the safety of their homes. You know, because we had people murdered by stray bullets or bullets that weren't meant for them, put it that way. And they're sitting in their house and they're getting shot. You know? And if every brother was a brother, they would be their brother's keeper. And not the taker of lives, each other's lives. And we got to stop. You know, why do we hate each other so much? I'm going to go right back to the slavery thing. You know, you were hated, downtrodden, beneath the foot of a whole society here. That's who we were. Beat you halfway to death. Beat you to death. Hang you. Burn you alive, torture you, dismember you while you're still alive. That means they do it in a way where you don't die, where you can feel that, castrate you.
Mm.
You know, and here we are, murdering each other, you know, like it's going out of style. You know, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think
it makes no sense.
I think most of that killing thing is about the repercussions, the lack of repercussions. They can get away with it, all that kind of thing.
Right, and I get that because no matter how simple of a reason you kill somebody, once you kill somebody, now it becomes very egregious. I understand that. And then that cycle just goes on. Because now I got to kill you or somebody close to you or one of y'all. You kill one of us, I got to kill one of y'all. Maybe I want to kill more than one of y'all. Maybe I'm never going to stop killing y'all. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what has to happen is we need to really find a way to help these brothers get their heads out of the shithole that they chose to stick their heads in. Because we can't be our own problem, our own wrench. We can't throw our own wrench in our machinery and then complain about somebody else.
Right.
We need to come to a point, and I'm using Tulsa, Oklahoma as an example. They lived under far greater conditions than the ones we live under now, right now, and they work together. So you know, all that complaining about the man and all that stuff, come on now. Put your heads together. Put your hands together. Work together. Think together. We can do better than this. Riding a bike down the curb is a sign of weakness. Signs is a sign of weakness. I don't follow directions. I don't care about boundaries and directions. How can we form any kind of organized anything with people who refuse? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To respect other people, follow directions and things like that. How can we grow from that? And if we can't, then we need to get with the people that can and keep it moving. But we need to start doing something other than what we're doing right now. Because right now, not working. Everybody doing their individual things, individual success. You know, and I'm not saying people not helping people. I'm not saying some of the rich people not helping people. I'm not saying some of the rich white people not even helping black people. I'm not even saying that. I'm saying we need to do more together. But as long as we are fearful, envious of each other, continue to hate each other, continue to devalue the lives of our brothers and sisters, and I didn't really touch on the sisters that much today, tonight. As long as we continue to devalue the lives of ourselves, it's gonna be like trying to succeed as a people. It's gonna be like pulling the Empire State Building, and we can get 20,000 of us trying to with a chain around the Empire State Building. See how far we get. We gotta stop being against each other. And it's time. Actually, it's past time. It's way past time. You know, for the people, you know, who don't know your history. Read. You got this YouTube. You got the internet. You got all these things. You can go read stuff. You can read. You can see why you need to join with the people you're killing, with the people you're disrespecting, with the people you're hating. You will see why you need to join with them. You need to care about them. You need to care about yourself first. Because you killing people, running around just juicing people up, tapping people out, you don't care about you, because eventually you're going to get tapped out. Or you're going to go to jail. And if you survive that, somebody don't shank you up to jail or something for tapping people out on the outside. Come on now. This is ridiculous. That's it. You don't get a medal for killing people. For being foolish. And you're getting a lot of attention from law enforcement. So if that's the attention you want, then you got it. Mm-hmm. It's negative attention, and it's being attributed to all of us. We're all not that way. Maybe some of us may have been that way, learned better. Decided to do better, made a commitment to do better, not even learned better, just decided to do better, because I think that people know some of these things. You know better. You know better than to kill people, ride a bike down a curb. You know, if you're smoking weed on your porch, the people all next door to you is getting the same weed you smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Be conscious.
Right.
So, you know, to the brothers in the neighborhood, you know, y'all are brothers. Y'all ain't acting like it, but y'all are. Y'all need to stop and think about what you're doing and how you contribute to the demise of your own people. You got to stop somewhere. It's hard to stop with that cycle of murder, but you know what? You put the guns down right there. That'll stop. Stop killing. Decide to stop doing it. I don't know how that works out, but it seems to be theoretically the only way you can do it, because it's going to be a lot of pain. There's going to be some guys you want to get. They killed my brother. I know that's very hard to let a guy go to kill somebody close to you. I know it. But if you keep, you know, this up, nobody's going to be left. And you got to listen to people. You got to respect people. Respect people's space. You know, we know that some of the sounds you're making is disturbing the people. You know, study your own history, my brothers and sisters. You know, I want to, Q, I want to thank you for calling in tonight, man. You know, we got like 90 seconds left. You have anything you want to say before the time's up?
Well, thank you for your contribution, your efforts to spread the word.
Okay, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and I want to thank Mr. Kenneth Jones. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, all listeners and callers, downloaders. You know, this is your show to so that you can have a voice. Your opinion is greatly appreciated. It's not a soapbox opportunity for me, even though I may appear to be on a soapbox sometimes. But you can come get on a soapbox on the show if you like. Until next time, each one, reach one, each one, teach one. And remember, you are your brother's keeper. Learn, baby, learn. All right? Remember that, you know, don't forget about the, you know, wash your hands and all that good stuff. 6 feet spacing and all that good stuff for the coronavirus. Until next time, y'all. Appreciate you, as I said. And Q, thanks for calling up on the show, my brother.
Absolutely.
We talked about something else, but I just had to hit that because I was hit with that over the weekend. Good night.
Night.
Ha ha ha.